It's been good to have a little bit of a break of sharing God's word, but it's been miserable having a little bit of a break sharing God's word with you. It's been 3 Sundays that I haven't preached. How long you got? I won't try to make up all 3. Before we get into the word for today, you want to find in your Bible is John chapter 17. But as I walked into our center today to worship, God put a word on my heart, and I believe it's for maybe one or more of us in this room today. I know it was a word that I needed to hear, and maybe this word is for you as well. And the word was this: live at peace at all times with all people as far as it is concerning you. Live at peace at all times with all people as far as it is concerning you. Maybe that was for you today. See, our God isn't silent. He's always speaking. Sometimes we're speaking too much to listen. So maybe that's a word for you. I know it's a word for me today. It's a word going into this holiday week. And I just ask that if that was meant for you today, that you would receive it and allow it to be true in your life. Several weeks ago, we started this series of 5 sermons talking about together. And I'm going to give us a real quick recap. We first started about together we love. We based that message out of Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 and 40. And we said that crossroads, we wanted to challenge crossroads together to love by stealing sand to weaken barriers. Barriers built by anger, built by wounds, built by fear, built by bad habits as we gain this world for Jesus Christ. As we love, let our actions prepare the way for a flood of love of God to sweep across the lost and to bring them into His kingdom. As we love, let our actions prepare a way for the flood of love for God to sweep into the hearts of their wounded, to those who are hurting, to those who are dejected, into the loving arms. May our love for one another, may our love for Jesus Christ bring those who are hurting and separated into the loving arms of our Father God who first loved them. Could you just turn me down a little bit, please? The next part of that series was Together We Proclaim. And we base it on the message of Jonah and the life and the calling that Jonah received. Jonah was a comfortable prophet of God who was out of touch with his surroundings and his mission. To me, we said in that message that it often sounds like the church today. We often become so comfortable that we're out of touch with one another, we're out of touch with our neighbors, we're out of touch with the message to proclaim of that Jesus has given that mission to us to go and proclaim. And we finalize that message by saying, as we surrender ourselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit, He will move us out of our comfort and we will proclaim the good news. The next week we looked at the message of together we will reach. And we had to determine how do we reach. Often by asking God to open our hearts and our eyes to see our neighbors. By sacrificing our comfort. By seeking God for the nations. By putting the needs of others, the needs of the lost before our own needs. By being the church we read about in God's word. By being a church that's willing to grow young. By being a church that's willing to grow multi-generational. By being a church that's willing to grow multicultural. By the leading of the Holy Spirit as Jesus builds His church. And that last part that we had in the 4 weeks that we got to was, together we will send. And we talked about, we have been sent by our Savior to a generation with a mission. And that mission often finds itself stuck in the lives of many disciples, the lives of many church members. And many of us are stuck right where we're at and we've never gone out with our sending orders, with our marching orders to do and accomplish the mission that we have been given. And many times we're stuck because we've fallen asleep. And we're sleeping instead of harvesting. We are well fed. We are obese spiritually. Instead of going to those that we have been sent, we continue to keep that message to ourselves. Jesus has sent us, and we need to get going, for his return is near. That message was based out of Luke chapter 10. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his field. We must go. And we have been sent. And also we must send others. Today we're going to bring a close to this. Together we leave a legacy. Often when we hear of the word legacy, we think of gifts received through a will, an inheritance that's been handed down from one generation to the next. However, a deeper meaning of the word legacy must be understood for us today. The legacy is to be, that we are to be given off, that we are to leave, is to be the very presence that is given to the next generation. It's leaving something of ourselves to somebody else. To leave a legacy is to leave a presence which is so much more than a memory, so much more than an asset, so much more than property, and so much more than money. The only legacy that I believe a disciple of Jesus Christ can leave is the legacy of our God. His legacy is to be left every place that we go, and is for the next generation. The legacy of our God is the legacy of his glory. The legacy that we are called to leave is the legacy of the glory of God. Follow with me in Luke chapter 17. It begins by Jesus praying, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you." Notice here that Jesus, in this great high priestly prayer that he prayed, did not seek glory for himself, but glory in order to glorify the Father. He prayed continually in verses 4 and 5, "I brought glory to you, Father, on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Then Jesus says, "Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." Jesus brought glory to the Father through his obedience in accomplishing what he was given to do. Yet, church, it was more than just obedience. Jesus continued in this prayer in verses 6 through 8, "I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were yours always. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me." They accepted it. "And now they know I came from you, and they believe you sent me." See, Jesus left a legacy of the obedience to the mission he was given by his Father. And then he gave that mission to his disciples, and the legacy of glory was then given back to Jesus from the Father. Verse 10 of chapter 17, "All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory." If there's anything a child of God is called to leave, is who they are in Christ Jesus, the mission they have been given to complete. The life of obedience, of following the one who calls us by name, who gave his life for us, who hung on the cross to pay the price of our sin, who bridged the chasm between us and the Father, who is preparing a place for us in heaven, who has promised to come again. That's what the church, that's what the disciple is meant to leave. Nothing else lasts. Nothing else matters. It's the legacy of the glory and the power and the honor of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, who always has been and who always will be. Listen to what James MacDonald wrote in his book, Vertical Church. A real encounter with the living God changes everything. First, it magnifies the Lord. And then it puts me and my ego and my sin and my burdens all in their rightful place. This is what the church is supposed to do and be. Not an encounter with the glory of God in creation, but an encounter with God in a different, even more awesome way that only church can provide. However, he continues to write, church today as a weekly experience with the manifest glory of God is the greatest lack we face. The lost are not found because God's glory is not revealed in the church. Children wander because church is pathetically predictable or shamefully entertaining, but hardly ever authentically God. Marriages flounder because arrogance grows unchecked in our hearts and is not weakly cut down by the pride-withering presence of Almighty God. Church was never intended to be a place where we serve God to the exclusion of meeting with Him. We cannot survive spiritually without the corporate connection in heart, soul, mind, and strength with the one who made us. The church can't fake glory. We can't manufacture it or manipulate it or manifest it at will. Only God Himself can bring glory into a church. And when He does, communities get shaken and lives get changed. We've got it all wrong. We got it all wrong. The only thing that a disciple of Jesus Christ has to leave behind every place that they go while they're alive and at the end of their life is the manifest glory of Jesus Christ that they have encountered the moment their life was changed. But here's the kicker. It doesn't happen readily. It doesn't happen because often we, as I said a couple weeks ago, get stuck. And it's hard to see changed lives in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because if the life is changed, everything else is changed. When Jesus is first, everything else falls in order. When our focus is on Him, we see everything else more clearly. When we're in step with the Spirit, we don't satisfy the flesh. When we're living a life of integrity, when we're living a life of character, when we're taking the time to be a student of the living Word of God, when we surrender our will to His will, when we truly make disciples of ourselves and all other people, what we are leaving behind is the glory of Jesus Christ, who came into this person, set us free from our sin, preparing a place for us in heaven, is coming again for us, and we pass that on to those who don't know Him and to those that follow us. That is Jesus only and Jesus always. Jesus now and Jesus forever. But we get this confused with the inheritance, with assets. I heard a little statistic. I'm glad you're sitting down, because a lot of you guys are facing those end days within the next 50, 60 years of your life. And maybe you're already preparing what inheritance, what gifts you're going to leave to your family. The average financial inheritance in the United States that parents leave to the next generation is $150,000. That's the average percent. That's the average amount. That generation has all their inheritance spent within 17 months. And we worked a lifetime for it. And they can blow it in 17 months. That's why I told my kids, you ain't getting anything. I'm just kidding. Do you see the difference between an inheritance and the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of our Father God? Let me give us some helps here. If you have something to jot notes down, I've got a few points here on how we can leave a legacy of God's glory, disciples, and the church. First, the first thing to leave a legacy of God's glory, we must live our mission obediently. Jesus was 100% God. Jesus was 100% man. And Jesus was 100% obedient to His Father. He accomplished everything. Didn't miss one thing. He accomplished everything His Father sent Him to do. To leave a legacy of God's glory, we must live our mission obediently. Each disciple should know their mission inside and out. Jesus gave the mission to His disciples. And when He gave the mission to His disciples, Jesus expected His disciples to live it out just like He lived out the mission His Father gave Him. Jesus said, I have been given, God Almighty, the Father God, gave to Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. So Jesus said, here's your mission, disciple. Go and make disciples. Each church member should also live the unique mission of their church. A mission of a church supports and must be in alignment with the Great Commission. And here at Crossroads, we have determined that our mission is as disciples of Jesus Christ. We exist to connect with God and one another, to advance the kingdom of Christ, and to contribute by giving of ourselves. Jesus was 100% obedient to the mission of His Father. If you wonder why the glory of Jesus as a legacy from the disciples of Jesus is hard to find, go back and check. Are you living on mission? Secondly, to leave a legacy of God's glory, we must walk in the Spirit. Hey, disciple, do you realize that we have been given the perfect guide? is better than any GPS. It's better than Google Maps. It's better than Garmin. It's better than anything else. We have been given the perfect guide living within us. And often he is saying, recalculating, but we don't listen. The Holy Spirit. And we are called. Let me go even stronger word. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians 5:16-18. See, disciple, church, when we are in step, we live obediently. When we're out of step, we're living in disobedience. When we're in step, we're living obediently. And we become the light of the world. And we bring the flavor of Jesus every place. Life in step makes a difference in the lives of the lost. A life in steps allows us to leave a legacy of God's glory every place that the Holy Spirit leads us. Next. To leave a legacy of glory, we must remain connected to Jesus and bear much fruit. In John 15:8, Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified." You already know the verse, but stop right there. By this, comma, my Father, comma, is glorified. What is it? Who wants to finish the verse? That you bear much fruit. And so to prove to be my disciples. You want your Father glorified? Bear much fruit. You want to prove you're a disciple? Bear much fruit. In other words, disciples are to be fruit-bearing followers of Jesus by remaining connected to Him who is the vine. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. But we have to be in step. We have to allow, live a life of obedience. We have to surrender, let the Holy Spirit produce this fruit in us. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I love this last sentence. There's no law against these things. A legacy of God's glory will remain through the fruit a disciple bears. Lastly, to leave a legacy of God's glory, we must share the life-changing good news. Back to John 17:13-20, the continuation of this prayer Jesus is offering. Now I am coming to you, Father. I told my disciples many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. Sometimes the disciple is the most joyless person that the world meets. Is joy less a word? It is today. Don't think too hard on it. Jesus shared all this with his disciples to have joy. I have given them your word, Jesus said, and the world hates them because they don't belong to the world, just as I don't belong to the world. I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they could be made holy by your truth. I'm praying not only for these disciples, the ones that were rubbing shoulders with Jesus on this earth, but also for all whoever believe in me through their message. Just think of this for a moment. The approximately 120 that were left in the upper room on the day of Pentecost decided to leave an inheritance instead of a legacy. We wouldn't be here right now. They left a legacy of the glory of God. They were obedient to the mission of their Savior. When the Spirit came upon them, they were filled with the Spirit, and all of a sudden Peter's now preaching, questioning Peter, preaching. He was in step with the Spirit, and thousands came into the church. And they were discipled, because if they were discipled, what would happen next? So many people say, I'm so worried, Pastor, the church is shrinking. We're not getting new people. It's the same old same. We have less here today than when you first came here a year plus ago. Let's all go home and look in the mirror and find out why. A legacy of God's glory we must first have in our lives to leave it. We must first understand the legacy personally. And through that personal understanding of the glory of Jesus in our life, a life has been changed. And if your life has been changed, as mine has been changed, because I've experienced the last glory when Mr. White shared it with me in September of 1981, I experienced the legacy of God's glory being passed on to me from a man who took the time to share it with me. And I'm here today because of it. You know, when you don't preach for 3 weeks in a row, God gives you so much information. Are you guys digesting or are you drowning? Because I have a whole lot more, but my time is almost up. But quickly, let me summarize Abraham's life. You can look at this more in Genesis chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. At the end of the life of Abraham, he paid legacy to Isaac. But if you read these verses, he also had other children, and he gave them gifts and sent them away. There's a difference. Why would Abraham pass on something different to Isaac than he did his other children? Because it was through Isaac that would trace all the way down to our Messiah. It was by faith Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham had encounter with the living God. His life was for God, and what he passed on to Isaac was passed on as the glory of his other children. Pastor Kevin's interpretation, received gifts and they were sent their way. Now let's take it out of the Old Testament. I could share a whole lot more about that, but I won't. Jesus left us a great legacy. He left his disciples a great legacy. Listen to this. Put this together with me so we understand this. Jesus left us a great legacy. When he returned to our Father, and as the disciples have had a great legacy to leave, we are told to leave this legacy Every place we are to leave this legacy, the legacy of God's glory, every place we go, and all the following generations. Here's the legacy that Jesus left for his disciples. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. See, Jesus didn't leave any property, any assets, any leases. Jesus gave his life on the cross. He was obedient to his Father's will, laid down his life for the sins of the world, was brought up out of the grave, defeated death in the grave on that third morning. He was seen by hundreds. He told his disciples, stay put here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, the promise he already talked about recorded in John. And when the Spirit comes, he will come upon you and you will be filled with him and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The legacy that Jesus left for his disciples is the Holy Spirit. Life for the child of God is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings change to our lives that absolutely nothing else can do. What the Holy Spirit does when we are born again, He gives us a new life. And if there isn't a change that takes place, this is going to sound really harsh. Maybe you haven't believed yet. If there hasn't been a change, maybe you haven't yet placed your faith in Jesus and made him your Lord and Savior. But you see, most Christians want to live like this. You hear the message that Jesus Christ died for you. If you confess him and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be born again. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gives the rights to those to call on him to become children of God. You hear this message and you say, oh yeah, I want that. But you know what? The things over here in the world are more attractive. And so many of us live like this. Trying to live one foot with Jesus and the other foot in the world, and we're leaving nothing behind us. Nothing of value. Nothing that changes a life. Nothing that points people to Jesus Christ. The things of this world to grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. Don't build up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. Together, we have the greatest opportunity to leave the greatest message, the greatest story ever told, the greatest life change that anyone can ever experience, and that's only found in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him today, or maybe you thought you've known him, but you haven't even seen a change in your own life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn from the direction you're going in repentance and face Jesus Christ head on and have a changed life. Today is the day to not just understand your birth physically when you were born in your mother's womb, to but stand your birth spiritually when the Spirit gives you new life. Today's the day. Today's the day to take the legacy that I just shared with you and make it your own. Today's the day to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today's the day to be obedient to His mission. Today's the day to walk in the Spirit. Today's the day to share the good news as I've shared it with you. And if you can't share the good news, why haven't you brought them here so I can share it for you? None of us have an excuse. I did something yesterday. Have you guys ever done something that you don't want to do, but you just do it because you are asked to do it? But then you really don't want to do it, but you do it. And then at the end, God shows you why He wants you to do what you were asked to do, and you had no idea that God had a part of it at the beginning. Did you follow me on that? I spent the day in Fargo, Moorhead yesterday. I really didn't want to, but the bus company that I drive for on occasion was desperate, needed a driver to take these smelly hockey, high school hockey players up to, and they stink. They don't shower after all these games. They get in the bus and think it smells good. I don't get it. I get there, and a bus from Jefferson Lines pulls in behind me. Well, hey, Pastor Kevin? Zeon. How many of you guys have seen Zeon? Fellowship, encouragement, hugs, encouragement. I went to Moorhead to see Zeon. And I trust I love some of God's glory in His life. Who's in control? You, me, or the Holy Spirit? We have a legacy of God's glory to leave, folks. And apart from it, people will be eternally separated from the love of God found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? First off, Father, for anyone here this morning that the Spirit brought an understanding to their life that they can't testify to having a changed life yet. Maybe they've been in church their whole life, or whatever the situation may be. But Spirit, You spoke to them clearly and say, hey, my life changed. Well, today's the day to experience the glory of Jesus Christ and have a changed life. If that's you today, I invite you to offer this prayer to the Father who loved you and sent His Son to die for you. Don't make this a prayer that just comes from your head because the pastor is praying it. But make this a prayer of new birth from your heart. Father, thank You for being patient with me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for this opportunity to make You my Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Give me a new life to the Holy Spirit. And allow me to start leaving a legacy of the glory of Jesus that I'm experiencing right now. Maybe you're in this room this morning, and I know you're in this room this morning, but maybe you're here this morning, the Holy Spirit saying, oh, your focus has all been wrong with the legacy that you're trying to leave. If that's what the Spirit spoke to your heart this morning, I'd ask you right now to do business with God. Repent. Seek forgiveness. Turn from the direction you've been going and make a direction course under the Holy Spirit and start following Him to leave a legacy of God's glory. And on behalf of this church, Father, I want to repent. Forgive us for being stuck, for being wayward. Forgive us for our stubbornness. Forgive us for our fickleness. Forgive us for not putting first things first. Forgive us for not following your mission with all of our life. Forgive us for not being in step with the Spirit. Forgive us for not preaching the good news always. Forgive us for not focusing on the legacy of your glory that we leave behind. Shepherd of this flock, I make a commitment new with you today, Father, that our intention is to live on mission. Our intention is to be obedient and bear much fruit. Our intention is to walk in the Spirit. Our intention is to share the good news in order to leave a legacy of your glory. Holy Spirit, make it true in my life and make it true in the lives of each one here this morning. Father, I love you. I worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. Worship and adore you. Stand together. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Lift your hands unto your Savior. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Name in all the earth. Holy Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Receive this closing prayer, and through us, may we leave a legacy of the glory of our Father, the glory of Jesus our Savior, and the glory of the Holy Spirit every place that we go and for all that follow us in generations to come. In your name we pray and give thanks. Amen.